we kick it off by going to the KODY phone lines. District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joins us for our weekly legislative update. And Senator Jacobson, as the legislature adjourned, have you been able to get a little bit of R&R in since the early adjournment?
You know, I have. I did spend the weekend really getting some rest, spent a little time down at the farm, and that's always kind of restful in itself, but at least refreshing. Mm-hmm. I've slept really good the last couple of nights and feeling much better. And it was a long session.
It was a long session, Senator, and I think some folks would be kind of surprised to find out that there was an early adjournment. I know I was surprised at that potential when talking to Christina last week, and it wasn't an extremely early adjournment, but still two legislative days were left on the calendar, so to speak.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces that went into that decision. I think, number one, I think the Speaker wanted to make sure that every bill that was a priority bill that had made it through to a select file was able to get to the finish line. And then you have to keep in mind that when you approve a bill on select, it needs to lay over a day before it goes to final. So unless they're already on final reading there towards the end, you've got issues. You also need to understand that typically day 89, which would have been last Friday, would have been the last day to basically pass bills on final reading. Then we would have come back on day 90, which would have been this coming Friday, and that day would have been used exclusively for overriding gubernatorial vetoes. So what the Speaker was able to do was to go to the governor and kind of knowing what bills were going to get approved yet on Thursday and confirm with the governor, will you be vetoing any of these bills? And so the governor agreed that he would not veto, that any vetoes that he would have would be to us by Thursday, and that anything that was still left on the agenda for Thursday, he was okay with and would not veto. So that allowed us then to not have to come back this coming Friday. And by going into this last Friday, had we met, there really wouldn't have been much to have done, or if we would approve something, say, on Wednesday, and then tried to bring it in on Friday, you had issues as to, well, could there be a possible veto? So that was part of the thought process. I think also I had a bill that was on select file. It was a bill, really a cleanup bill of language on professional limited liability companies and professional corporations. And it was a bill that was heard very early on. It sailed through general file, made it to select, and it was two bills away from being heard on the day that Senator Michaela Kavanaugh decided to go into her filibuster mode. So we never got to it that day. Then typically what the Speaker does, if we don't hear something that was scheduled that day, he moves past it and then tries to bring it back later, and it just never came back. And so I did talk to him this past week about getting it scheduled, and I think the concern was that if he scheduled this one for me, it was not a priority bill, that there would be a lot of other senators wanting theirs done. And so we agreed that let's just bring it back next year early, and I should be able to get it passed early in the session next year. And it's not like it was critical to get it done. And so I was satisfied with the bills that I did get, that I had introduced, that did get the finish line. And so, and I think at the final piece was that I think he just really knew that everybody was tired, that they were ready to go home. And I think giving everybody a couple of days off early, just everybody welcomed it. Nobody was grumbling about we should have stayed there. So that's kind of how it ended up.
And Senator Jacobson, looking back at last week, one of the things that were required among you and your colleagues before adjournment was to get some sort of framework for voter ID in. That was controversial, but it was done nonetheless.
Well, that's exactly right. And it certainly has been controversial, and I've gotten a lot of emails on that. And I want everyone to understand that I've considered their emails, and I was really torn on whether I wanted to vote for this bill or not. And And I would tell you there's a couple of things you need to keep in mind. There's a federal voter ID or voter registration laws that were passed in 1993. And I would refer people to that legislation federally, because that played a big role in on what the limitations were in this voter ID bill that was brought by the committee and ultimately passed by the legislature. There are federal restrictions on what we can and can't do that could ultimately result in really voter suppression. So when you look at what was out there for the initiative, and then you look at what the federal laws are, and then you look at what's practical, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that the people that are voting, they're voting once, and they are who they say they are. That's really the goal. And how do you get that done without further reducing the number of people that vote because people look at it and say, this is just too much hassle, I'm not going to vote. So we've gone from one extreme, I think, of the federal level of making it too easy for people to vote from the standpoint that meaning it's too easy for people to perhaps rig the system, trick the system. At the same time, we want to be very mindful of the fact that we've got people that are in nursing homes, we've got people that are traveling, we've got people on vacation, we've got people in the military. So you need to make accommodations for them and make sure that they're able to vote as well. So that's been the balancing act. The committee heard a lot of testimony. This is the government committee that's chaired by Senator Tom Brewer. The committee spent the entire session trying to work through a deal between Senator Julie Slama, who was very involved in helping get the ballot initiative out there, and she had her own bill. Senator Erdman had a bill. So there were a lot of competing interests out there. And ultimately, the committee came with their recommendation. We need to move forward. People can say, well, we could move it to next year. Well, we've got a primary already in next year. And so the Secretary of State's office and others need to be prepared for whatever laws we pass. And there are people that said, well, we should have a special session. Well, my response to that is, if we can't agree on a change or anything different during the entire 90-day session, then I don't know coming back in a couple of months how that's going to change anything. And furthermore, we've got Tom Brewer, chairman of the committee, who now is in the Ukraine. He left on Saturday, and so he's in Poland right now. I got an email from him this morning, or a text letting me know that he's in Poland right now and is going to be in the Ukraine. Others are going to be gone for the summer. Nobody had any appetite to come back for a special session. So ultimately, we voted on, and I agreed to go ahead and vote for the committee bill because I felt that the committee bill was as good as we were going to get at this point. But I would fully expect that we will be revisiting this in the future and making tweaks as we move down the road.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update on KODY's Mugs of the Morning. And Senator Jacobson, when we look back at this legislative session, there's going to be a lot of controversy that comes to mind and that's going to be reflected on historically. A couple of items of controversy arose for you and your colleagues in the past couple of weeks as the session looked to conclude. I don't think we're necessarily going to look back and remember these when we think about this session, but nonetheless, these were items that were tackled the past legislative session, and like I said, kind of ended the session on a bit of a controversial note with these. I'm thinking specifically of the E15 requirement for retailers and the Senator Hansen's bill on the motorcycle helmet law.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that. I have gotten a number of emails on motorcycle law, and many since it was passed, because I don't think too many people saw that coming. Senator Ben Hansen, chairman of the HHS committee, had introduced the measure. That measure has probably been introduced over the last 20 years every year, and it's never come out of committee. It always gets a lot of objection. And ultimately, they don't get there's not the appetite there to pass it. This was one of those years where we were building bigger bills and and adding amendments, and Senator Hansen added it to as an amendment to the DHHS committee bill, priority bill, and it passed overwhelmingly by the legislature. And frankly, I was surprised by the vote. I did vote for the measure, and I voted for the measure because I believe that it's the way the bill is written. You have to be over 21 to be able to legally ride a motorcycle without a helmet. And I've kind of taken the position that many others have, that if you're 21 years old, you're old enough to decide for yourself what you want to do. In my mind, getting on a motorcycle and running 75 mile an hour down the interstate in itself is taking your life in your hands. But, I mean, you are exposed out there. There are other people that could hit you. I think the biggest challenge to motorcyclists are being hit by someone other than you, as opposed to you doing something inappropriate. But it is a risk. And I know people talk about, well, we need that helmet. That it's bad for the people to come up on the scenes and have to investigate them. It's going to be costly in health care. But, you know, you could make that argument really in a lot of other, you know, should we require people driving tractors to wear a seatbelt? Should we require motorists to wear a helmet so that if there's a car accident that they don't get injured in the head? You know, there's a question as to how far do you go on government telling you how you should live your life, and at what point do adults make their own decisions to do whatever they want to do. I ultimately came down on that side of the equation, as did 30 some of my colleagues, and the bill easily passed.
And then with this E15 conversation, Senator, unfortunately, we've been so occupied with other things. I feel like this is one thing that I've neglected in bringing up a little bit with you. I think we've talked about it briefly here and there, but it's been overshadowed a little bit.
It has been, and a little bit of the background on E15. And by the way, the E15 bill also included a bill that was brought by Senator Tom Brandt, that increases the net worth maximum for the beginning farmer program. It took it from $200,000 to $750,000, which I think was a very needed change for our beginning farmer program. But the E15 bill, again, was lobbied heavily by when you look at the Motor Fuels Petroleum Marketers Association, adamantly opposed to it as a government mandate. And I understand that. At the same time, the reason I voted for the bill was for two reasons. But most importantly, when it comes to distribution of motor fuels, there's only one way to distribute it, and it's through retailers that sell motor fuels. And so if we want to get our E15 or we want to get our ethanol sales up, we're going to need to be able to make it available at gas stations that sell the product. It's not like you can just set up and sell it retail some other place. You really have to be set up as a petroleum marketer. Most of them are selling the E10 today. Now we can sell E15. There are significant cost savings to motorists if they buy the E15, because ethanol is significantly cheaper per gallon to purchase than gasoline is. There's an argument that there is some mileage reduction, but I think if you run the math, and I've done it with my own vehicle, that there is cost savings even with some mileage give up for E15 and for E10. And we are the second largest ethanol producer in the nation, and yet we're way down the list in terms of the amount of ethanol that gets consumed by motor vehicles. And so the way the bill was drafted was it allowed for some carve-outs to where stations didn't have to comply if they had limited amount of gallons that they sold, if they had an older station that the tanks weren't prepared, the pumps to do it. But if you were building a new station and or significantly remodeling a new one or an older one by putting in new tanks and new pumps, you would then be required to offer E15 in at least 50% of the pumps that are available at that station. So I thought it was an appropriate compromise. The petroleum marketers are not happy about it, but I think that motorists will have additional options for ethanol purchases. I think it will move more ethanol product, and our state relies heavily on agriculture, and I think it was appropriate. So I did vote for the bill, did co-sponsor the bill, and was glad to see it pass. I'd also tell you with that that I was good friends with Bob Lundin, who we lost this last week, had his funeral last Thursday. It was very fitting. I thought that Bob, being the promoter of ethanol that he was, that the governor actually signed the E15 bill the same day as Bob's funeral. In fact, it was right at the end of the funeral when this bill was signed. And so I was proud to be down here to represent Bob at the signing. And I know he just did so much over the years to promote ethanol and really promote our region of the state, and a great businessman and somebody that I'll truly miss.
Very unique. And Senator Jacobson, for folks that need a refresher, you have been the vice chair of the Banking, Insurance, and Commerce Committee. That was a committee that took up a lot of time for you, obviously, and a committee that really had a lot of success this past legislative session.
We did have a very large Christmas tree bill that we passed, and we had a lot of hearings and looked at a lot of different issues. When you think about it, anything that has to do with banking, anything that has to do with insurance, and then it's also the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee, so anything with commerce. And so, yes, we look at a lot of different issues. It's much broader than just purely banking issues. I'm the only banker on the committee, and I'm only one of two bankers that are members of the legislature. Senator Rob Clemens chairs the Appropriations Committee, and he's got a little bank in Elmwood, Nebraska, and then I'm the other banker in the legislature. And so a lot of people look to us for expertise in that area, and it was, although I wasn't certain that I was going to go on the Banking Committee, it was made clear to me by a number of my colleagues that you absolutely need to be on the Banking Committee. We need to have your expertise there. And so I'm glad I did, and it's been an interesting committee to serve on.
Senator Jacobson, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
Well, I just want to tell everyone it's truly been an honor representing you in the Nebraska legislature. I take this job very seriously. I knew it was going to take a lot of time, and that did not disappoint. It took a lot of time. There were a number of weekends that I did not come home. And when I did, it was a pretty short stay in North Platte. I'm looking forward to getting back to the bank and getting more involved there. And I'm really looking forward to spending time in North Platte with the Miss Nebraska contest coming up and with Nebraska Land Days. But I do take this job very seriously. I do appreciate the input from the constituents. I see it as a real responsibility when I'm there on the floor that I'm representing District 42, and I don't ever want to embarrass my constituents. And it's important to me that every day I show up prepared, and that the floor speeches I make are floor speeches that you would be glad to see me making. And so I appreciate the opportunity to do it. It truly is an honor. And so I just want to say thank you to all my constituents.
And before we wrap up, Senator Jacobson, let's talk a little bit about Speaker Arch. Obviously, this is his first go as Speaker of the Nebraska Legislature, but an individual that has quite a bit of experience and an individual that had a very difficult job and a difficult task in front of him this legislative session in a number of ways. And he faced criticism from his colleagues and colleagues of yours on the Republican side of things in the Nebraska legislature, and then from some of the Democrats and independents as well.
Well, that is very much a thankless job, and I would tell you that you're right. Senator Arch, this is his first year as Speaker, but then to add fuel to the fire, Patrick O'Donnell was the clerk of the legislature for, I think, over 40 years, mm-hmm. and Brandon Metzler now is the clerk. He was the assistant clerk for several years, but Brandon's very young, but he's very good at what he does. So this was the first year as Brandon flying solo as the clerk, first year for Senator Arch to be the speaker. Because of that, there were just a lot of things that were different. And then you throw at it the fact that we had 32 Republicans in the body and you had 17 Democrats in the body. And so there was concerns that there could be a lot of very conservative legislation pushed forward. So there was a, and then couple that with some fairly huge social issues. So that was a formula that for some real problems. And so, you know, it's easy to criticize the person making the decision. At the end of the day, I think Speaker Arch did a good job of dealing with what he had to deal with. Everybody could point to things they would have done differently. But at the end of the day, we got a lot of things passed. We passed about 50 bills, but that included, by the time you roll them up into Christmas trees, almost 300 bills. So if you look at 300 bills, and actually I think the number was 292, that's on track with what normally gets done in a 90-day session. We just did it a different way. Now, I think there'll be some consequences to that, and we'll probably have to fix a few things over the next few years. I did have a good conversation with Speaker Arch this last week again, and he and I talked a lot about, and I, as I shared with him, I'm not sure we have to do a lot of rule changes in the future, but I think it is important that we look at the interpretation of our rules, and we lay it out up front, how things are going to run. And I think he realized that he wished maybe he would have done things a little bit differently. But once he made the decision to interpret the rules the way he did, that he felt he couldn't change it. And so I think that will happen next year. I think we'll see a very different 60-day session next year than we saw this year in the 90-day session. So, and I also should mention there were 17 in the freshman class. So you had a lot of new freshmen here this year as well. So all of those things made for a very interesting process.
And Senator Jacobson, of course, there's going to be some downtime for you, but if your constituents want to reach out to you, you're still going to be monitoring those communication with folks outside of District 42, or in District 42, I should say. And it's going to be here before we know it that some of the work for the upcoming session in January is going to be starting to come to fruition.
It is, and I would encourage people to continue to reach out to me. They can certainly call me, area code 402-471-2729. Or they could email me at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. Christina and Joe will be spending most days in the office, and Christina will be taking phone calls. She can forward them to her cell phone if she's not in the office at the time. So I look at all the emails. They get copies of them as well. So I'll still be able to reach out from that standpoint. I do plan to go to a number of the parades this year. I do plan to get out in the district and get to different gatherings to really get input from constituents this year. So rather than going out on a campaign trail, I expect to go out and really hear feedback from constituents and start looking at ideas for next year, things we did right this year, things they think we should have done differently, and then what's on their mind and what further changes need to be made. And I also plan to, over the next several weeks, my columns, I'm going to get into specific bills because there were these mega bills that were passed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to unpack each of these bills and try to explain to people what was in these bills and what actually got passed. It was an amazing list of things that got accomplished, and so I'm going to try to unpack that through my both on this program and in the newspaper articles to try to educate people as to what we actually got done.
Well, Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time and hope that you get a chance to get more R&R in on the heels of the legislative session.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you guys doing this, and it's a great way to communicate with all the constituents out there. And again, it's just been an honor to do this, and I look forward to getting with you guys one-on-one.
Thank you, Senator Jacobson. Safe travels back to the district, sir.
Thanks a lot. See you later.